Not after tonight. I'm not the youngest. I've been praying for this. I've been bringing it up at ministry meetings, and I'm so happy. I'm so happy. Welcome in the name of our Savior. What our brother Jim was talking about those minute details, that's the Holy Spirit touching people in our congregation, different members to do different things. And that's the theme of this sermon is listen to the Holy Spirit. Listen to the Holy Ghost. I was in a conversation with someone. I have this problem, this issue, and that is that I really have a hard time saying no. So if somebody asks me to do something, sure. And I was discussing this with someone, this issue, and their response was quite direct. They said, "Do you listen to the Holy Spirit?" And I had to respond, "Not enough." And that really kind of led to this sermon today. Because those of you who have made this wonderful covenant with Christ to follow him, to serve him till the end of your life, well, it wasn't an empty covenant. It came with a response from God. He gave you a gift. And last night, we were having a baptism study over at Sean's house. Sean talked quite a bit about that gift. And he talked about how that gift of the Holy Ghost, that baptism, is accompanied with fire. And that's how God cleanses us spiritually. But he cleanses us and he replaces what was there with this gift, this marvelous gift. Some of the people that were there in the study said that they were interested in baptism because they wanted to get close to God. And you know, that's what that gift is for, to get close to God. I'm going to read a little bit about that gift, when it was given to Christ's disciples. I'm going to read in Acts. Beginning in chapter 1, verse 1, I'm going to read through verse 9. "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he shewed himself alive after his passion, to many by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, that gift of the Holy Ghost. Which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, Wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So this Holy Ghost gives us power. Power to do what? Be witnesses of Christ. To live like he lived. Verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. And this is the promise. This is the coming of the promise, the Holy Ghost, being baptized with the Holy Ghost. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded. They were confused, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we, every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born, Parthians and Medes and Elamites, and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia, in Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia in Egypt, and in the parts of Libya around Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. Imagine this. You go to Jerusalem, and well, now you might hear a lot in English, but you hear all these unlearned people speaking in your language the wonderful works of God. And not only you, but the Chinese, the Spanish-speaking people, they're all hearing this and all understanding. That was the power of the Holy Ghost speaking through them. Verse 12, and they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Others mocking said, These men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lift up his voice and said unto them, And this was Peter, who not too long beforehand denied Christ three times. And yet look at the power of the Holy Ghost in him now and what he says. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lift up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions. This is the benefits of listening to the Holy Spirit. This is the result. It says, the Spirit was poured upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And what's all this for? To witness of Christ. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will shew wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the bands of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, and I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me speak, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. All of this, Peter is speaking by the power of the Holy Ghost unto a people who know the Word of God. They know the prophets. And Peter is not speaking out of his own wisdom, but he's speaking by the power of the Holy Ghost, that gift given to him. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. This is the result of the gift of the Holy Ghost. These amazing wonders you're seeing. For David is not ascended into heaven, into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. He's speaking boldly by the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent, change your mind about God, about your sins, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, that covenant that we have. Some of you haven't availed yourself of that covenant. It's a wonderful gift. Wonderful gift. Consider it. God wants you to be close to Him. Verse 39, for the promise is unto you, and I say it unto you, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And you're here today, aren't you? He's called you. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. This was the fruit of the power of the Holy Ghost working through Peter, working through all those that received the Holy Ghost that day. This is the fruit that you and I have available to us if we listen. We can be witnesses to thousands. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. These results of the gift of the Holy Ghost. These signs and wonders. Verse 44, and all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men. Why do you think they did that? Because the Holy Ghost led them to do it. And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. They were witnessing by listening to the Holy Ghost. Rather than letting their concerns, their fears, their frustrations, their stress dictate them, they listened to the Holy Ghost. So there, the Word of God gives us guidelines, tells us not to believe every spirit. So what are those guidelines? How do we know if it's the Spirit of God that's talking to us? And 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 3 talk about that. First John chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. People speaking, saying they're saying, they're telling us what God is telling them. So this word is telling us that we need to try the Spirit. Is what they are saying from God? Verse 2, hereby know ye the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Does this spirit recognize that Christ is the Son of God? That he is God in the flesh? Does it recognize its divinity, his divinity, and also being the Son? Second Nephi, chapter 2, beginning in verse 6. Second Nephi, chapter 2, beginning in verse 6. And this is a prophecy given to Joseph, one of the sons of Israel. And Lehi is accounting of it, telling his son Joseph about this prophecy that was given to Joseph, the son of Israel. And in verse 6 it says, and great were the covenants of the Lord which he made unto Joseph. Wherefore Joseph truly saw our day, and he obtained a promise of the Lord that out of the fruit of his loins the Lord God would raise up a righteous branch unto the house of Israel. And this is speaking of the Nephites and the Lamanites. And this history, this word of God that we have contained in the Book of Mormon, and the fruit of their righteousness is this book that we have, the Book of Mormon. They were led by the Holy Ghost to write the things that God spoke to them, and by angels. Now turn to me to verse 19. Wherefore, the fruit, and this is the prophecy from Joseph, through Joseph. Wherefore, the fruit of my loins shall write, and the fruit of the loins of Judah shall write, and that which shall be written by the fruit of my loins, meaning the Nephites and the Lamanites, this Book of Mormon that we have, and also that which was written by the fruit of the loins of Judah shall grow together. And that which was written by the fruit of the loins of Judah is the Bible. These things shall grow together, verse 21 says, unto the confounding of false doctrines and laying down of contentions and establishing peace among the fruit of thy loins and bringing them to the knowledge of their fathers in the latter days, and also to the knowledge of my covenants, saith the Lord. And so this promise was to Joseph that his descendants would be given knowledge again of God through this word. But what I want to point out here is that these two grow together to the confounding of all false doctrines and laying aside of contentions. We know that Christ said that contentions aren't of him. And so these these books help us to find the will of God. So when we hear, when we're trying a spirit, whether it's someone says, God told me this, or whether a spirit speaks to us, we try it with the words that are in these books. So how do we listen? How do we listen? You know, there's a Christian psychologist, his name is Dr. Henry Cloud, and he wrote a book called Boundaries. And I was listening to him speak. And he talked about that God has given us this brain to be able to focus. And there are three important points to be able to focus. And one is that we attend to whatever it is we're trying to focus on. And a second is that we inhibit distractions, other things that are trying to get our attention. We inhibit those. We get them away. We get away from them. And the third is that we have an active memory. So when we're talking active memory, that we have some sort of memory, some sort of basis to relate to whatever it is we're trying to focus on. So, speaking of the Holy Spirit, this gift we've been given, to attend to it, we have to take time out. We have to inhibit those distractors, those things that want to draw us away, or will draw us away. We have an enemy that doesn't want us to listen to the Holy Spirit, so he'll put things in our way. We have to inhibit those things. We have to get away from them. And we have to have an active memory. And to have an active memory, we have to know what the Word of God says. That means we have to have a base knowledge. To try the Spirit, we have to have the knowledge, but also to gain understanding of what the Holy Spirit is trying to tell us. Turn with me to Jerem, chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. It's in the Book of Mormon. On page 197 is where Jerem starts. Actually, I'm just going to begin in verse 1. Now behold, I, Jerem, chapter 1, verse 1. Now behold, I, Jerem, write a few words according to the commandment of my father Enos, that our genealogy may be kept. And as these plates are small, and as these things are written for the intent of the benefit of our brethren, the Lamanites, wherefore it must needs be that I write a little, but I shall not write the things of my prophesying, nor of my revelations, for what could I write more than my fathers have written? For have not they revealed the plan of salvation? I say unto you, yea, and this sufficeth me. Behold, it is expedient that much should be. It is expedient that much should be done among this people, because of the hardness of their hearts, and the deafness of their ears, and the blindness of their minds, and the stiffness of their necks. Nevertheless, God is exceeding merciful unto them, and hath not as yet swept them off from the face of the land, and there are many among us which have many revelations, for they are not all stiff-necked. And as many as are not stiff-necked and have faith, have communion with the Holy Spirit. So he's talking about these people among them who have rejected the word of God. In other words, they don't have this basis. They don't have this active memory to be able, when the Spirit of God speaks to them, to relate. And because they don't have this active knowledge, because they haven't feasted on this word, they don't have faith. Because what's there to have faith in? I know that when I have read the scriptures, I remember as when I was 15 years old, I started reading the scriptures every day, and especially at when I was 18 or 19, and I read through the Book of Mormon, and I just remember my faith getting stronger and stronger and stronger. My belief in God, that he's real and that he actually does these things that over and over and over these people said happened to them when they heeded God, when they believed him. And so we have to have, we have to not reject the word of God, but feast on it. We have to have faith that he's real and that he does what he says. I asked our sister for permission today. She gave a testimony. Our sister Chepa gave a testimony of she works on a school bus, and often it can be riotous, and people can say bad words, and they can get in bad moods, and it affects their whole day. And our sister Chepa has a concern for these children. And so she prays for them. Why does she pray for them? Because she has a faith that God's going to answer her prayers, and because the Holy Ghost led her to pray. That's why she prays. And so she saw the result of her prayer. And she saw the kids calm and that God had blessed them. And she told the person she works with, who says they're a Christian as well, that we need to thank God because he's blessed these children. And the person responded, no, we need to thank the principal because he made changes. I just wanted to make this comparison because our sister, led by the Spirit of God, had faith in him, communed with the Holy Spirit, and as a result, saw the benefits of that. But then there was someone who was stiff-necked, who could not recognize the power of God in that situation. And I bring that up not to point somebody out, but we can be that same way if we don't have faith in God, if we don't commune with the Holy Spirit. I just wanted to read a few things about the Holy Spirit in 2 Nephi chapter 15, verse 2. And you're not going to have time to open to these because I'm just going to run through them. Yeah, I can give you my list afterwards. It says that that people that harden their hearts against the Holy Spirit, they cast away things which are written and esteem them as not. In Jacob chapter 4, verse 13, It says we have an opportunity to reject the words of God and therefore deny his word and the power of God and the gift of the Holy Ghost. So when we reject his word, we reject that gift of the Holy Ghost. We have an opportunity to, we read that one. 1 Nephi chapter 3, verse 15 says that Christ himself makes himself manifest to us through the Holy Ghost. 1 Nephi chapter 3, verse 26 says that the Holy Ghost is the gift of God unto all those who diligently seek him. 1 Nephi chapter 3, verse 30 says that the mysteries of God shall be unfolded unto him, unto us, by the power of the Holy Ghost. So that's the importance of having the Holy Ghost and listening to it, because he will unfold the mysteries of God to us. 1 Nephi chapter 3, verse 36 says the Holy Ghost gives authority to us to speak. So if we want to speak by God's authority, we need the Holy Ghost to do that. 1 Nephi chapter 3, verse 127 says that the Holy Ghost bears record of Jesus Christ. In 1 Nephi chapter 3, verse 187 says that all who seek to bring forth his Zion shall have the gift and power of the Holy Ghost. So there's a few things. Okay, 2 Nephi chapter 13, verse 17 says we're baptized of fire in the Holy Ghost. Same with verse 18. Same with verse 24. Second Nephi chapter 13, verse 32 talks about the Holy Ghost being part of one God. Second Nephi chapter 14, verse 3, and I want to read that now. Let's turn to 2 Nephi chapter 14, verses 3 and 4. This, once again, is the importance of feasting on God's word, that we may speak with the tongue of angels, it says. 2 Nephi chapter 14, verse 3. And I'm going to start in verse 1. And now, behold, my beloved brethren, I suppose that ye ponder somewhat in your hearts concerning that which ye should do after ye have entered in by the way, after that ye have made a covenant with Christ, this covenant that you're going to serve him till the end. And he's given you this gift of the Holy Ghost. But behold, why do ye ponder these things in your hearts? Do ye not remember that I said unto you that after ye have received the Holy Ghost, ye should speak with the tongue of angels? And now how could ye speak with the tongue of angels, save it were by the Holy Ghost? Angels speak by the power of the Holy Ghost. Their speech is the words of God. And they speak by the power of the Holy Ghost. Wherefore they speak the words of Christ. Wherefore I said unto you, feast upon the words of Christ, for behold, the words of Christ will tell you all things what you should do. Do you often ponder what you should do in certain situations? What am I going to do? Well, you have the answer. I have the answer. Listen to the Holy Ghost. feast on the words of Christ. I want to talk about, through some testimonies, some benefits of listening to the Holy Ghost. When I was called, as our brother D.A. was called, when I was called to be a minister, I knew like D.A., I knew it was God speaking to me, and it overwhelmed me with surprise, shock. After the service, our sister Margaret Gill brought to me the exact words that our brother Glenn was given, except for there was this one missing line. And so all it said was be a, and I felt I could not accept the calling until I had all the words. And so one day I fasted and prayed that God would give me the words somehow. And so the Holy Spirit told me to call Sister Becky Sheldon. So I called her and I told her, the Holy Spirit told me to call you. I've been fasting and praying about what this missing line was. And she said, well, I don't know, Darren, but you know, often our brother Marvin Ely will write down things. When the Spirit of God speaks, he'll write them down. So I called brother Marvin Ely out in Grand, I don't know where he was, actually. But anyway, he said, you know, for some reason, I didn't write them down that day. And I felt impressed to ask him, are you sure? So I did. I said, the Holy Spirit told me to ask him. And I say that with conviction because not that I heard words. Darren, ask him. I just felt it and knew it. And I said, are you sure? And he said, well, I can go out to my car. I have my notebook out there, and I can bring it in and look and make sure. I said, will you please do that? And so he went out to his car, and he brought it back in. And he said, no. He said, all I have is this one thing, be a faithful servant, Darren. I said, that's it. That's the missing line. And I was so amazed by the power of God to lead all of that so that I could accept the calling. And that was a blessing of the Holy Spirit, communing with the Holy Spirit. But what did I do? I took time to fast and pray. I believed God could answer my prayers. And he did, just like Sister Chepa prayed and believed God could answer her prayers. I heard another testimony this morning in Sunday school class, and I'm not going to mention one of the names because I didn't ask them to share the testimony, but our brother Sean was working on a bus with one of his brothers-in-law. And he was under the bus, and he was, I'm just going to say, working on a piece because I'm not mechanically minded. But anyway, the Holy Spirit told this brother-in-law to tell Sean not to touch anything. And he did. And the way I was told the story in Sunday school, this was a brother who was real unsure about this God speaking to people. But he was so moved by it that he told Sean not to touch a thing that he had to go get this jack and get it under this corner of the bus and not to touch anything till he'd done that. And so he did, just as the Spirit of God told him, got this jack under the bus, and he told Sean, okay, you can touch it now. And as soon as Sean touched it, the airbag collapsed, which had it, he not had that jack under the bus, Sean would not be with us today. The Holy Spirit spoke, and this brother listened. And because of that, we have a minister that serves us in this congregation. I have this one other experience that I had. I had a couple more that I wanted to share with you. I told you about my calling, and a brother wrote to me when I was called, and he gave me some certain scriptures that he was led to. It was actually scriptures that Paul wrote to Timothy. And as I read these scriptures, I knew they were from God because the Holy Spirit spoke to this brother and told him to send them to me. And I felt that spirit as I read them. And so I was led to have this brother ordain me. And during when I was called, one of the testimonies of my calling was our brother Bob Oldham stood up, and he was reading when Moses was called about how Moses doubted himself, and yet God said, "I am that I am." And that he would perform the work. And this witness to my calling really moved me because I'm like that. I doubt myself. And so this brother that I was led to ordain me, he confessed to me, "I have no testimony of your calling. I was not there when you were called." So he wasn't there for the witness. And when he... But the Holy Spirit led me to choose him. And so when he ordained me, he said these words. He prayed that I would have the faith of Moses. Another confirmation that God had led me to him, even though he wasn't there during the ordination, wasn't there for the witness, but that God had led me to him to ordain me. When I was 15 years old, I began to rebel against my mom and against good wisdom and against God. But I wanted to know if there really was a God, because I was really struggling with temptations. And so I prayed that God would somehow show me, somehow reveal himself to me. And I was at this church camp, and I just knew all this week I'd be praying with faith that God would reveal himself to me. And so the last night came, the campfire before the end of the camp, and I was waiting for this moment that God would somehow reveal himself to me. And so as the campfire was going on, people were testifying of God's goodness. And as they were testifying, this glow surrounded me. this love, overwhelming love of God, I felt him. And this glow surrounded me, and I was holding hands with this friend, and I saw this glow go up her arm, and I just felt this wonderful love. And afterwards, I mentioned to her, "Did you see that?" And she said, "Yes," and she cried. And this girl had had problems all week rebelling against this camp director. So in my heart, I prayed, and the Holy Spirit was leading me to pray, that he would reconcile them. And so I prayed, and they walked up immediately and talked and hugged. Then I had this other friend who'd been mean to the camp director, and I prayed for him, and immediately he walked up to him, and this was all under my breath. I didn't, they didn't hear me praying. And so God is answering my prayer, and he's strengthening my faith, and he's guiding me with his Holy Spirit. And then, so they talked and hugged, and then this friend that I originally talked about, she was fighting with this other friend. I prayed for them as we were walking up a hill, and they came together and talked. And so I saw this mighty God answering my prayers. And this faith. And so I went home from this experience, having this great faith in God. And my mom said to me, "Darren, you're going to go have to live with your father." And my father and I didn't have a good relationship at that time. And I was worried about leaving this group of people. And by the way, that's changed. My father and I have a wonderful relationship now. I was worried about leaving this group of people that I knew that had faith in God. And my response to my mom was to just run to my room. And the lights were out. I shut the doors. And I cried out to God. I said, "Why, God? Why? I just now learned about you, and I have this great faith." And you know, when it says that Christ manifests himself by the power of the Holy Ghost, it is real. And he flooded that room with light. And I saw hands, and I saw this book come down in front of me. And it opened. And as it opened, I saw only this portion of words. And I heard this voice say to me, "My son Darren, worry not, for you shall walk the world with a cane. Cherish these words, for they are from your Lord in heaven." And that cane was this word of God, this basis that we need. And that and the Holy Ghost is all we need to face any trial, any temptation. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Believe in God. Let him use you. Let him use you to witness of him to hurting people in this world. May God bless.